Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And before we go any further, let me just apologize on my behalf for the episode about Vince buying Jim Crockett promotion. Now, I don't apologize for that episode where Mark's brilliant booking acumen was on full display. I do want to apologize for us. As I was listening back, I don't know what happened. We're missing a few minutes where we were going down the Jim Crockett roster, so I want to apologize for that. I also want to apologize for my heavy breathing. This is what you heard for an hour. So I apologize.
Well, you were standing. So
I was, yes, in my defense.
Yeah, in your defense, you were having to move around a little bit.
So in this episode, we're going to catch up on some things going on in wrestling. We're going to talk about the return of Seth Rollins. But first, Mark, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How you doing?
You're lying. You're not. You're having a horrible morning.
Yeah, I'm over it now.
That didn't take very long.
Well, I mean, what are some of the things that I may or may not be aggravated about, I can't really put out there.
Oh, that's funny.
But I tell you, Heath has got these glasses on. Holy boy. I bet if you look at that map over there, you can see people waving at you. There's a map around here somewhere.
There's a globe.
Yeah, there's that globe right there. You can probably see people waving if you look at that thing.
Well, we were studying the Book of Revelation at church last night, so I wore these glasses so I could see the future and tell everybody what the end was going to look like. So, Mark, last Sunday night, we're recording this on the 26th of May, but last Sunday night was Extreme Rules, and you have been the proponent of a of a way to watch wrestling that has helped you enjoy wrestling more. And so will you expound on that? Because you and I did the exact same thing. I didn't get to watch all of Extreme Rules, watch a little bit of the beginning, watch the main event. But just expound on that for maybe people that are listening to the show the first time, how you watch wrestling and it helps you enjoy the pay-per-views more.
I just watch the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Like, I don't watch. I watch typically, now I didn't this time, I watch Raw the night after the pay-per-view because I know from that what they're going to do for the next month.
Yeah.
And then I watch the pay-per-view, and the video recaps will show me what they did. I don't have to watch the two guys who are feuding trade wins back and forth on Raw and SmackDown and main event and on the app. And and then I don't have to watch the replay of it on NXT that they show. I just get that nice video package that they put together before the match, so I know every important thing that happened, and then I get the match. And it's great, and I enjoy it. I kind of enjoy the pay-per-views more by not watching, because Raw being 3 hours plus 2 hours of SmackDown, and it's remember I might have said this a few months ago, talk to me when you've seen AJ Styles and Kevin Owens have 10 or 15 matches. Are you still on fire for these guys?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And when, as I was watching, I watched the beginning of Monday Night Raw.
And I did watch that. I watched it until I texted you, I don't understand this company anymore.
Right. Because they had a golden opportunity.
Yeah.
You have. Now, I thought the Roman Reigns AJ Styles match,
it was good. It could not have been better, I don't think.
No,
I don't think that match could have been better. It was a really, really good match. And the return of Rollins was so good.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand this 2016 WWE where we've got, and I don't want to turn into where we just gripe, and this is why I don't watch it.
Right.
But where you've got everybody is sending you the message, we don't like this guy.
Yeah.
So the idea is, well, let's make him our big hero. And then they're sending you the message, we clearly love this guy.
Right.
Seth Rollins. Let's have him go out and tell everybody he burned all the cards and stuff. That's just not the way that wrestling's ever been done.
Right.
I remember when Triple H tore his quad. He was a bad guy.
Yeah.
He comes back. He gets this huge ovation, and he's a good guy.
Yeah.
That's what happens. I knew.
Yeah.
Based on everything I've ever known from watching wrestling, as soon as Rollins went down with the injury and he was going to be out that long, when he comes back, he's coming back as the good guy.
Yeah.
I don't understand this cunt. Nobody, like the most popular group in the company sells a t-shirt in a cereal box called Bootios. In Jim Crockett Promotions 30 years ago, I mean, Abdul the Butcher would have carved those guys up.
Yeah.
And nobody would. I just don't understand it's this whole culture of irony.
Yeah.
These guys are, we're pulling for these guys ironically. I don't understand culture anymore.
Right.
I just don't understand the world that we live in.
Has the world passed us by, Mark?
Mm. I think it may have, but if you turn around with those glasses on, you can probably see into the past.
Yes, yes. And you are correct. Abdullah the Butcher would have carved
up. I mean, that's just like the, and I like the guy. I'm not saying that I don't find him entertaining.
Right.
But why they're the most popular act, and there's certainly a place for that on the card, don't get me wrong.
Right. Now,
but three nerdy guys.
Now, listen.
Being maybe it's because all the guys who are watching
now, listen,
are nerds.
That's very true. But props to, I have, and I know you did too, I have so much respect for the New Day.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't like the New Day. That's not what I'm saying.
Somehow,
what I'm saying is, how are they the most popular act of the card?
Well, I think they figured out what you and I are trying to figure out. They have figured out, this is the audience. We are going to cater to this audience.
Yeah.
And they...
Maybe so. Maybe that's what it is. They just figured these nerds are going to ironically pull for us.
Because
we'll just go out there and act like nerds.
But I think that's who they... I think, especially Xavier Woods, I just think that's who he is.
Probably.
I mean, I just think he's...
I had always heard that when Big E first debuted, he didn't have any charisma.
No.
But I had always heard that he's this really charismatic guy. If they just let him do it, he'll be, you know, he's got so much personality, and he clearly does. All three of them do.
Yeah.
They're great. I'm not knocking their act. I like their act.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I just don't understand the company anymore, and I don't understand the fans.
Yeah. I don't know if I told you this on the, every year WWE sends out a shareholders report.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically this huge, thick magazine, and it's got articles, but it's got the financials. And on the cover of it this year was the New Day.
Hmm.
The New Day was on the cover of the stockholders report.
Yeah.
And I think that just says a lot about... So you're not getting my heavy breathing this week, but Mark... Yeah. Also,
I hocked up a loogie. I just woke up and got over here. I'm sorry.
We haven't had our normal conversation during breakfast where we get all the junk out of our system.
No,
I'm battling
like
a cold.
I walked in... And we pretty much sit down and start recording.
Yeah, no
warm-up.
We skipped
breakfast.
We did not stretch.
No.
We didn't, no foreplay.
That's right. We just right to doing the deed.
When I was watching Sunday night, I'm going to be honest. It's well documented, my appreciation and love for AJ Styles. I thought that was a great match. I thought Roman Reigns has had matches with AJ Styles that I did not think he was capable of. I think AJ Styles has brought something out in Roman Reigns. I thoroughly enjoyed that match. And I loved the camera work as Reigns, because it was zoomed in on Reigns, and you didn't see Rollins run in.
Mm-hmm.
You just saw the crowd behind him point and go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd erupted when Rollins came in there.
Right.
And he pedigrees Roman Reigns.
People watched it. You know what happened.
And it sets up, like you said, for Rollins to come out Monday night and to cut this. And he cut half the promo
Yeah, like, he didn't even have to go, I'm the good guy now. I mean, he just had, like, I just don't understand this company. I don't understand.
Like, if he had stopped after the first...
Vince McMahon has said, you know what, they're going to reject everything I do, so I'm going to do it even more. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's almost like that. Like, nobody, I mean, this nobody's over.
Yeah.
Who's over in that company? Who's a good, is AJ Styles a good guy or a bad guy?
Well, here's the thing.
Wait, is AJ Styles a good guy or a bad guy?
I don't know.
But that's are the New Day good guys or bad guys?
They're not. But that's how they're booking it now.
Vince, I know. That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, it's...
If you went and saw a movie with no clearly defined good guys and bad guys and everybody's just fighting for nothing, eventually somebody has to emerge as the hero.
All right, well, let me ask
somebody
you.
Somebody has to identify themselves as the villain.
You say that. Who's the villain in Goodfellas?
They're all villains, man. They're all bad guys.
Okay. But you just said if you can't have... So is that what WWE's doing now, that they're all villains?
Well, you got a point, man. Well, we glorify the gangster lifestyle in this country. So, I mean, they're all good guys, really.
But there's nobody in WWE right now who is going to run... If somebody's getting jumped...
Yeah, nobody comes out and helps anybody. They've been doing that for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
So all these guys are supposed to be whatever, and then...
And if I hear JBL, and I know this... JBL's probably tired of saying it himself, he's not a good guy, he's not a bad guy, he's just the guy.
Oh, that's so stupid. That, and whether you love him or you hate him, at least you're passionate about him.
So stupid. Oh, my
God. So stupid, man. It's so stupid. People, like, in the past, if they didn't like, and I don't want to get on this thing of Roman Reigns needs to turn heel, because that's not the answer. Because if he turns heel, then everybody's going to start cheering him. Same thing with John Cena.
Right.
Because it's the fans that I have an issue with.
Here's my question, okay? In today's WWE, you've just said we don't know who's the heel and who's the babyface. You say something like, if Roman Reigns turned heel, what would he need to do to turn heel? Cheat? There's no line of cheating.
There's no thing. Everybody cheats now. Used to, the good guys didn't cheat.
Yeah.
The bad guys cheated. Now everybody picks up a chair and hits somebody with
it. Yeah, I mean, even though it's an extreme.
Used to, when a good guy picked up a chair and hit somebody with it, it's because they done hit him with it four times.
Yeah.
And he finally had to get his revenge. Was I too loud for you?
No. These headphones are just killing my ears for some reason today. But in the Extreme Rules match, you got the Usos, who have always been good guys.
Yeah.
And AJ Styles tears them up with that chair.
Yeah.
And he enjoyed that a little bit too much.
He did. He enjoyed it. And then they broke him, and Gallows and Anderson are not friends anymore, evidently.
Okay, yeah, I hadn't.
I even though I don't... watch Raw, I read what happened so I can keep up with it.
Yeah.
I
didn't even
know
do that.
Going in, so I read what happened, and apparently they come out, and he said, maybe we just need to go our separate ways, and they didn't like it. And so they had money there with them, and they decided, you know.
They had a money printing machine.
Yeah. And they said, we probably don't need it. I just think his biggest problem, the thing with AJ Styles where he screwed up, was he got a reaction.
Right. Well,
and I think their whole, and I think it's the same thing with Damian Sandow. I think anytime the fans get behind somebody that they don't want them to get behind anymore, it's over with.
I'm going to tell
you. They're just not going to get into that Daniel Bryan situation anymore.
Well, here's what I think is going to happen. All right. And I may be proven wrong. The other big news this week was the upcoming brand split.
Mm-hmm.
So, July, they're going to do a draft. Uh-huh. Then SmackDown's going to go live.
Uh-huh.
And I think, from what I have reading the tea leaves and using my thick glasses, I think AJ Styles is going to be one of the top guys on SmackDown.
Right, I think so too. I think that's what they should do.
Yes, I think Raw is going to be appealing to the dad and the kid who they go to wrestling once a year, and SmackDown's going to be...
It's going to be AJ Styles and Sami Zayn.
And the guys living in their mom's basement and just paying money so they can have an opportunity to chant, this is awesome.
Yeah, I think so too. I hope that's what they do, because it's what they did. And I never thought, I used to think they need to end this brand split.
Right.
But now I'm in favor of it, because you have two different audiences that are looking for two different things. Whereas you really didn't before. You didn't have that. But I used to love SmackDown. I mean, SmackDown was a show I was watching. And I'm guessing if it goes the way I think it's going to go, SmackDown will become the show I start watching again.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, if I've got, I could watch the first 20 minutes and the last 20 minutes of Raw.
Yeah.
And then I can watch SmackDown.
And I'm hoping, and people may disagree with, but I hope they don't split the world title. I would like to see them, you have SmackDown, because it would keep things fresh to just, and put like the U.S. champion on Raw.
Right, that's what I'm hearing.
And put the Intercontinental title on SmackDown. Have the Intercontinental, that's just me. I don't know what's going on. I haven't read it. And have everybody on SmackDown trying to go for the Intercontinental title. Then you would have the U.S. title on Raw, and the world champion would kind of go back and forth.
Yeah.
Between, with whoever he was going to feud with.
So let me ask you this. You said, so I read a bunch. I mean, I was looking for articles this morning because I knew we would be talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, the June NXT event is called The End.
Really?
Triple H tweeted that out, and then he put at the bottom of the tweet, where do we go from here? So now there is speculation that this NXT takeover in June is going to be the last NXT pay-per-view kind of thing. That, I mean, what do you think of NXT kind of blending in with SmackDown?
Well, I assume that's what was going to happen, that there would, you know, that they would bring up the Samoa Joes and the Finn Balors and those guys. I've kind of figured that would happen anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what they're going to do. They're going to bring the big guys up and still keep NXT is where they're bringing the new guys in. But when somebody's popular, though, I don't know. I don't know. Who knows what this company's going to
do? Well, one thing that I am sure of that I've read, and this doesn't have anything to do with TV per se, but they're going to have four touring brands. I mean, not brands, but they're going to have two NXT tours and then a Raw tour and a SmackDown tour.
Man.
So at any point in time, there's going to be four live shows going on around the country. For me, okay, as much as if I could have wrote a script of, all right, what are a couple of things WWE could do to perk my interest? Number one, obviously, the return of Rollins. And then this would be the second thing.
Yeah, I'd like to see if I'd still like to see Raw go back to 2 hours.
Yeah.
That would, to me, would be, and that ain't going to happen because they're making too much money, but
yeah,
to me, that would be a big fix as well. And there again, it's things you never, you always think you want something. I used to think, God, it'd be great if Raw was 3 hours, and then it becomes 3 hours, and you're like, man, this is too much.
Yeah. I mean,
because they don't know how to fill 3 hours.
No, I mean, too much. Well, and I think this SmackDown thing is going to work because they're going to have different writing teams.
Mm-hmm.
They've called up the main NXT writer. He's going to be with SmackDown, which makes me think, like you just said, that they're going to blend in some of the NXT people. It wouldn't surprise me to see maybe the NXT titles on SmackDown. I don't know.
I mean, I would think if you're gonna have, if it's gonna be WWE, you wouldn't have NXT. I would think the NXT stuff would stay down there.
Yeah, who knows? I mean,
I don't. Who knows what they're? I really, I don't know what they're gonna do. It's all.
But that. But that. I'm trying not to. As you tell me, you're gonna
manage your expectations.
I'm trying to manage my expectations. Because they could. There's so many possibilities that could be incredibly awesome.
Yeah.
But I know what they've done in the past.
History tells me that they're gonna screw the pooch.
As I look through the thick glasses, I see, you know, history in wrestling, history repeats itself. And who knows what's gonna happen. Real brief. So before we continue, because I wanted to do a we talked about the draft. I wanted us to do our own draft, but before we get to that, because we're going to need to shift around some stuff here, I just wanted your thoughts on the release of Cody Rhodes.
Well, it wasn't a release.
No.
He quit.
He asked for his release.
It's two different things, man. It's two different things to get fired and quit.
Right. So what are your thoughts on Cody Rhodes quitting?
I don't blame him if he wasn't happy. And he wasn't. Sometimes, I mean, I quit a job one time. People thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
And now I have a better job.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, you got to, sometimes people just assume that because you're on TV, you're making tons of money.
Right.
And that's probably not the case. I'm sure he was making a good living.
Yeah.
But I bet by the time you figure in being on the road every day, paying for hotels, paying for food on the road, paying for rental cars. How much money do you think those guys are really bringing down? If they're knocking out $300,000 and their living expenses on the road are $150,000 a year, I mean, that's...
And that's before taxes.
Right, and that's before taxes.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. I mean, if you're not happy, and I think, and you and I talked about it, I think people, some guys, and especially guys... I'll only use me as an example. Okay. My father was a police officer.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, and I may have talked about this before, he trained me to be a police officer.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back, like I could have told you, my sister and my mother would go into the store, and me and him would sit in the car, and he would talk about people in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And we would look at this and watch this and look at what, and we would sit at the mall at the food court, and he would get coffee and I'd get a soda, and they would shop, and we would talk about people as they walked around. Who is this? And what's this guy? Look at this and see what they're doing. And I can remember us having this conversation when a police officer got killed.
Yeah.
Here, and he told me everything that police officer did wrong. I don't want that to come out like he was critiquing that this guy did something wrong, but there were mistakes made.
Yeah.
Where the guy turned his back on the two people and was walking back to his car.
Yeah.
And he left them behind him, and they shot him in the back.
Yeah.
And that was he took the lesson from that to me that what should have happened was he should have been behind them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you buy yourself, little stuff like that, he would talk about when you go into a room and you don't know where they're at, things you can say.
Yeah.
Just all of this training that happened.
Yeah.
With the intention of me being a police officer, and then... somewhere around 89, 90, I don't remember, we got a new sheriff. And philosophically, him and my father didn't get along.
Right.
And he quit.
Yeah.
Had my father not quit, I would be a police officer today.
Right.
But I'm not.
Yeah.
And the point I'm making is that sometimes when you try to follow in the footsteps of your father, like he was clearly doing with Dusty.
Yeah.
And now Dusty's not there anymore, and he doesn't have to. He doesn't have that. Like, I'm sure one of the draws of being in that business and that company was that he had this thing with his father that they could sit around and talk about.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't have to live up to his father. I'm not psychoanalyzing the guy.
Yeah, no.
Just based on what he said. I mean, he talked about Dusty in the thing, and it's clearly he's enamored with the legend of his father. And now his father's not there anymore.
Yeah.
And it's probably not fun for him anymore.
Well, I mean...
And he's clearly been wanting to take that paint... What I gathered was he didn't want to put that paint on to begin with.
Right.
Which was shocking to me.
Right. Because I thought that was...
That was something that he wanted to do.
Right.
They wanted him to do it. He did it and tried to make the best of it and wanted to take it off, and they wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing what fulfilled him.
It sounds like... He's still going to wrestle, but he wants to do it his way. I don't think he feels that pressure
He always wanted to be an actor.
Right.
If you've read Dusty's book, Cody was young when the book was written. He was not in the wrestling business.
Right.
He was if I'm not mistaken, either in or going to acting, like in one of those acting colleges that they have. He was enrolled in one of those, and that's what he wanted to do, was to be an actor.
Yeah.
So, like, it wouldn't surprise me if you don't start seeing him show up on some. Clearly, he's developed that relationship with Stephen Amell from Arrow.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if he don't show up on that show.
Oh, that would be cool. That would be cool. I have not watched the season finale of Arrow, which aired last night.
Did you watch Preacher?
I have not watched Preacher. Oh, what's it on? What channel?
AMC.
Have not watched it. Is it on Hulu?
No, I don't think so.
I have to find.
It may be.
I don't know a lot about. I mean, I know it's a comic book, but I don't know a lot about it.
It's a bit blasphemous for a fellow of your stature. You may find some. It hasn't got into it yet, but if you know anything about the comics, it very much goes down. It is God giving up on humanity, and Jesse Custer going to try to track God down and find out what the problem is.
Oh, gotcha.
Know? Like, and they do this whole, like, the first episode of people talking about how they used to would pray and they could tell that God. And they're setting it up now. I mean, it's early on in the story that, like, I'm praying and I can tell God's not listening anymore.
So, we're talking about Arrow, talking about TV. Let's continue. Let me change another gear. DC Comics just started a new series yesterday.
I heard about that.
Rebirth.
Uh-huh.
Let me just tell you, Mark, or anybody listening, maybe you've read comics before or you've been out of it. I can tell you, okay, you need to get this comic.
But are they still doing the New 52? Is that over with?
Okay.
I mean, that's where it gets confusing for me.
So, all right. They explain that in this issue. They explain what the New 52 was.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What was it?
I don't want to spoil it for you.
Tell me. I mean,
all right. If you don't want to know, fast forward a few seconds. Spoiler alert for DC Rebirth number one. Spoiler alert. I'm not going to give the big spoiler.
Please do.
You want me to give the big spoiler?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. And if people are listening, they can fast forward through it.
Okay. So what you have is Wally West, who's been out of the New 52, is narrating.
He was Flash, right?
He was Kid Flash, and that's the identity he's in. He was Kid Flash, but his whole life has been forgotten in the New 52 because what happened, they don't know who. Somebody reached in, and when the New 52 started, it rebooted the DC Universe.
Right, I remember that.
So what they're saying is somebody came in and basically removed 10 years from the DC Universe. That's why Green Arrow and Black Canary, they don't have a relationship, but there's something within both of them that they feel like something's missing. Everything restarted because we're missing these 10 years where relationships were built. So that's why the relationship.
Superman's a lot different in the New 52.
That's right.
He's like a lot more militant. Maybe a little bit more violent.
I don't know. No. I don't necessarily.
A jerk.
I don't know about that. Listen, I just follow Batman.
Okay.
But somebody reached in and plucked out. So let me tell you the last panel, okay, of this issue. So Batman has found out. Now, this is a month ago. Batman found out he was on the Mobius chair, you know, from Apocalypse, the New Gods, where, I can't think of the guy's name. But anyway, Batman becomes a new god and sits on the chair of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks, who killed my parents? Joe Chill, that's right. What's the Joker's real name? And he says, wait, that's impossible. So what you find out is Green Lantern and Batman have never had a really great relationship, but they're trying to mend things up after this Darkseid War. That's why Batman was on the chair of Apocalypse, this chair of knowledge. And Green Lantern says, what did you find out about the Joker? What's his name? Is it somebody you know? And he said, there's three Jokers. And Green Lantern's like, that doesn't make it. He's like, no, there's three Jokers. I got to figure that out. So Batman, you got this whole rebirth, and you get to the last panel, and Wally West is trying to connect with somebody. He connects with Barry Allen. He's like, Barry, we got to do something. And he says, we're being watched. And as he's saying that, Batman is like looking around the Batcave and he spots something. And he's trying to dig and get it out. And it is a smiley face button with a splotch of blood on it. Huh. And the last page is quotes from Watchmen. Of Dr. Manhattan and Ozymandias, whatever.
Yeah, Ozymandias. Yeah.
And it's quotes from that. And you see the clock that was on Mars. So I'm reading that. So
they have now, and they're going to bring the Watchmen into the.
And they've already done that. They've written a lot more Watchmen comics. And in one of them, Dr. Manhattan is wanting to create something. That's how Watchmen kind of ends, is he's going to go. And so let me just say this. So this all ties in together, because we're at a point in wrestling where I'm excited about what's to come. Because I didn't see it coming. We had talked about the brand split, but was it really going to be a brand split? But this thing with DC Comics, as I'm flipping through the comic last night on my iPad, totally did not see that coming. I mean, it's hard. I've been reading comics my entire life.
Right.
And it's hard to catch me off guard. But I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they kept that a secret. And I don't know what's going to happen. I just know I'm hooked. I am hooked again.
Right.
41-year-old Heath Mulligan, you tell me where to be. You tell me what comic to buy. I'm going to buy it.
Right.
I mean, I'm hooked. I have no idea where they're going.
Now, is this in the new Batman that's with the relaunch stuff? Or did this happen at the end of the new 52?
It's all the same. So you got the new 52 is ending.
Okay.
And then the rebirth is, and everybody's going to have their own rebirth series. And then I don't think they're going to start the numbers over.
Got you.
As a matter of fact, Action Comics and Detective Comics are going to go back to their pre-New 52 numbering.
Huh.
So it's basically like.
I have to check that out.
Yeah.
The Punisher, they also rebooted The Punisher.
I read that issue.
Yeah, I did too. Where is the Punisher a black guy now?
No.
Maybe it was just the Shadow.
No. One of the main villains is.
Maybe I just was. I don't know. I thought,
we'll look at it. But I say all that to say, if you've been out of comics and maybe you're listening to this and you read comics, you have no idea what the new 52 is. You can start with Rebirth. And if you missed any of the new 52, you'll be all right. This is a jumping on point.
And I guess that's why they do it, because you get
right.
You have to have a jumping on point at some point with comics. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think they're going to do this. How you like this segue? I think that's what WWE's going to try to do.
Yeah.
Is they're going to try to create mid-year, summertime, kids are home from school. They're going to try to create this jumping on point with the draft and the brand split.
That's right. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I think...
did you see, and I hate to, just to go back to comics, to reference a conversation we had a few weeks ago about Marvel with their cinema stuff, where they're pushing the guys...
Right.
They're pushing Captain America and Thor and guys like that, where it used to be X-Men and stuff, and how in the X-Men comics now... that there won't be any new mutants.
Right.
Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that, but they've done that a couple of times. They did something several years ago where they did away with all the mutants.
Yeah, and that's like... But it's Marvel is doing it specifically...
To kind of screw up the X-Men movie
and more. Yeah, like they killed Wolverine, so there wouldn't be any new Wolverine story.
Yeah.
And they had Storm make an announcement that all the mutants, they did something to sterilize all the mutants so they can't have any more kids. So there can't be any more mutants in the Marvel Universe.
Huh. That's odd.
No, it's not. I mean, that's what they're doing now. They're going to, they have like handed down directives. Any good storylines that you come up with, we will not use for Fantastic Four or any of the mutant comics. We'll use them.
For the other stuff,
we'll use the good storylines, and the crap ones will go to them.
So I think that with Marvel, they just started Civil War II. which I have not picked up and read yet, but I'm interested to see. Listen, comics is like throwing stuff at a wall. Sometimes it sticks and sometimes it doesn't. And the word that I never really understood growing up, and I still don't really understand it, is retcon. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you basically just start over.
Right.
And so, WWE's getting ready to start over. Give us 2 seconds. We're going to move around here. And Mark and I are going to move to the dry erase board, and we're going to do our brand split.
Are we going to flip a coin? One of us will be Raw, and one of us will be SmackDown?
Yes. Well, we don't have to flip a coin. You can be Raw. Now.
What if I want to be SmackDown?
No.
You got the hipster glasses on. You got to be SmackDown, I guess.
You got the hipster
glasses. You got the hipster glasses and the Star Wars shirt and a fat guy with an Under Armour hat on.
You know, you're not funny. You're not funny anymore.
Are we recording right now?
Yeah, we're recording right now. I don't want to stop it. I just want to keep the
keep
this thing going.
Well, just keep it trucking.
Keep it trucking.
Keep it going.
Hopefully my breathing is not coming through on this episode.
I'm sure that it will because you're up moving around.
Yeah, be quiet. So I show up for my son. The reason I got this cold is I did a hike. I show up for my son's field trip on Tuesday. Uh-huh. I'm like, Drake, what are we doing today? He's like, oh, going on a hike. Like a 3-mile hike. Mark, I need more than a couple of hours notice.
You got to give me a month or two to get in walking shape.
Yeah. It's not even about walking shape. It's about just mentally preparing myself for being in the woods with children. That didn't sound right, but that's how I feel.
So, you have the – how do I
– I have the rosters here. I've got the – listen, Mark, I'm prepared. I've got the – now, let's just go ahead and say that we're not going to draft any girls. Because from what I've heard, they're going to be on one of the shows. So we're not drafting them. But we're going to say we can draft NXT or main roster people. With the exception,
Lord have mercy.
What?
This is a lot of people.
There are 50, not counting, okay? I did the math. Not counting Brock Lesnar, The Rock, Shane McMahon, Triple H, Tyson Kidd, The Undertaker, people who are not regulars now. There are 57 people on the main roster. I did not count the NXT roster. So I thought we could both do, with there being 57, if we both got 20 to 25 picks, what do you think? 20 or 25? What do you think?
Let's just go 20 because I think the people are not going to want to listen to us.
No, I agree. So if you pick a tag team, that counts as, like, if you pick the New Day, that's 3 picks.
Okay. All right.
So do you want to be Raw or SmackDown?
I don't care. I don't really think it matters.
It doesn't matter because we're drafting as if we're in charge. We're doing what we would do, not what we think Vince is going
to
do.
Yeah, you can be SmackDown. Here's as close to blue as we've
got. This is not a dry erase marker.
Oh, okay.
So it won't work. But Mark is writing in red, and somebody stole all my dry erase. They're upstairs, and I don't feel like going to get them right now.
Well, I'll give you SmackDown. You're already breathing heavy.
Sorry.
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't know that I believed that you walked 3 miles yesterday.
I walked 20,000 steps on Tuesday.
Did? How many miles is that?
10,000 steps is 5 miles.
Huh.
So unless you've walked a mile in my shoes. Now, I'm going to give you a recommendation. You should take this and put it in your pocket, and we won't drag around so much.
Put this in your pocket and smoke it.
Put that in your pocket. All right.
So let's rock, paper, scissors for the first pick.
I'm going to give you first pick. That's the kind of guy I am.
You're easy. Yeah. So we each got 20 guys?
Yeah. Now, like I said, this is... If Heath and Mark were in charge, this is not what we think Vince is going to do. This is what we would do if they called us today and said, boys, we need you to get up to Connecticut, and we're doing this big thing, and we've heard you're genius on your show, and we really need you to help us.
Yeah.
Make this thing awesome.
Like they did for Mick Foley's kid. Just not because he's Mick Foley's kid, just because he had great ideas. That's what Mick Foley said. No, right. He's done really. He's put his ideas out there on the internet. This has got nothing to do with him being my son. You keep telling yourself that. I don't even know who all we. My first pick, Heath Slater.
Oh, no, you said it. Can't take it back.
So I can have anybody I want.
You can have anybody you want, except for those I've marked through.
Because like Undertaker and Triple H and The Rock, they're special attractions,
right? You know, and Brock Lesnar.
And Brock Lesnar, even though I think that's a bit unfair. My first pick, Kevin Owens.
All right. All right.
This is going to be real boring for people.
No. All right. So, my first pick is going to be Seth Rollins.
I should have thought about that. I heard that. Boy, you've got some good handwriting.
You can read what that is, can't you?
I know what it is because I know where it's supposed to be. Who is 808 in English? Let's see.
This is alphabetical by first name.
Okay. Because right. That's the way we do alphabetical stuff now.
It was off of Wikipedia.
No. I'm talking about this generation.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is alphabetical now. And I can get from NXT
yes,
as well.
Yes, you can draw from NXT as well.
All right, I'm going to take Finn Balor.
Uh-huh. Mm.
All right.
Finn Balor. I'm going to take AJ Styles.
Okay.
Just because I think you're going to pick him out of spite.
I was. Point. He was going to be my next pick. Yeah. I'll take Nakamura.
Uh-huh. I am going to take... Now, this is what I would do if I was in total control. I'm going to take Roman Reigns.
See, I was kind of thinking about taking him.
Because I think I can mold him.
Okay, I'm going to take John Cena.
That's good. I didn't even think about him.
Yeah, I was going to take Roman Reigns and John Cena, but since you took... I figured you were going to go with all the hipster favorites. I really did.
I'm probably going to. I gotta look and see what I got and see what direction I need to go in now. Let's see here. I want Cesaro.
You knew I was going to go for him, didn't you? All right, I'm going to take Jason Jordan because I think he's going to be a big star one day.
Now, so you're splitting up their tag team.
Yep.
All right.
He's going to be a single star. I don't even know his tag team partner's name, but I know him after watching one match.
Yes.
All I need to know.
Yes. Now let me hit the pause button here. I hesitated in picking AJ Styles because of his age.
Uh-huh.
Are you giving any thought to that as far as long-term plans?
Yeah, that's why I picked John Cena and Jason Jordan.
Right. Gotcha. No. Good stuff. Let me see here.
They do Jason Jordan right. He's going to be a big star.
No, I agree. I agree with you. That kid is talented. He's got athletic ability. Got a lot of charisma.
He looks like $1 million. He's like if The Rock and Kurt Angle had a baby. That's what he looks like.
And just like that, we have thinned it out.
Yeah,
pretty
we
good.
The herd when we got the.
You know what? I'm gonna take Rusev.
Okay.
Because I got a bunch of tweeners. I need a guy that's just going to be a bad guy.
I'm going to take Bray Wyatt. Luke Harper. Eric Rowan.
Nice.
And Braun. Strowman. Because that's how I'm going to get Jason Jordan over.
See, I think I was not going to pick the Wyatt family because I wouldn't know what to do with them. Mm-hmm. And neither does WWE. I think in your capable hands at what you just said, I think that would be awesome. So
when they start feuding with Jason Jordan and he's got to ask John Cena for help, it's going to elevate him. And then one day when Bray Wyatt finally turns babyface, I'm going to have my character babyface. He's going to Bray Wyatt long term is my Undertaker.
Right.
That's what I'm looking at long term. He's my Undertaker.
Right. So I get four picks now, and four picks. Four picks. What am I going to do? I'm going to pick. Let's see here. I am taking Sami Zayn and the New Day.
Okay. Where? All right. I'm going to take Dash and Dawson.
Yeah, nice.
I also need to put them with Jason Jordan and John Cena to take on the Wyatt. I'm thinking storylines as I go along. So yeah. I got Jason Jordan asking John Cena for help. And I might put Dash and Dawson with them as baby faces to take on the Wyatts.
Excellent, excellent.
Because so, Dash and Dawson are such a great throwback.
Oh, they're awesome.
I'm a big fan of them.
So I started out my first six picks. I went singles wrestlers that I could mix and match. And then I picked the New Day. So I'm trying to go I'm wanting to go with that with the tag team feel now. And I'm going to pick Big Cass and Enzo.
That's a good pick.
Because I can see the promos between them and the New Day in an era where there's no really good guys and bad guys.
Uh-huh.
I can see those promos going back and forth, very entertaining. I think their matches would be serviceable. I think you get that matchup with Cass and Big E where the two big guys when that feud happens and Enzo bumps around for Big E, that's going to be great. That's going to be great.
I'm going to take Dean Ambrose.
Oh, I forgot all about him. Dean Ambrose, totally forgot about him. So I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay with my tag team feel, and I'm going to go with Carl Anderson and Doc. Again, they can feud with the New Day. I can do some faction things. AJ Styles. I've got 2/3 of the Shield.
I'll take Dolph Ziggler. Just because.
So now it's your pick again.
Oh, I got one more.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's see. Who do I want? I'll take Samoa Joe.
Oh, excellent pick. Excellent pick. Let me see here. I'm taking somebody that's forgotten. Don't know when he's coming back. He's on the shelf right now.
Uh-huh.
Hideo Itami.
Yeah, I was thinking about him too. I don't see him on there. Bobby Roode's on NXT, right?
He has not officially signed a... Well, maybe he has signed a contract. You're more than welcome to take he or Eric Young if you
I
want
don't
to.
I don't care about Eric Young, but I'm going to take Bobby Roode.
I'm going to take somebody. This is going to be a utility guy. I don't have to put him in the main event, but I could plug him against anybody here on my roster. He's always entertaining, a little bit older, and that's Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I was thinking he was going to be my next pick, matter of fact. You beat me to it. Wow, we're really starting to dig in the bottom of the barrel now.
Yes, we are.
Let's see. I'm going to take the Usos.
Uso number one and Uso number two, as Mark has written them.
Jimmy and Jay. I know who they are.
Jimmy and Jay. I can't tell them apart, though.
I can't either. But I think that they do things different, I think, so the commentators can tell them apart.
Ah, gotcha.
They, like, if you'll notice, one of them will wear, like, leggings and one of them won't.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, they do something to let the commentators know who's who.
Gotcha.
These are the details that I notice.
Normally, that's my job. You know, here's somebody else that we may have forgotten about because of his injury. And I'd love to see this guy. I think he could have a good feud. Matter of fact, he got injured against Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I know who you're going with.
And that's Neville.
All right. I'm going to take, just because there again, he's going to be my Chris Jericho, Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Because he can come back, he can play the heel, he can kind of put him, you can plug him wherever you need him.
Yes,
and
yes,
he's going to have a good
yes.
3.5, 4-star match with anybody. If he wants to. Wait, you should have gotten two picks.
Huh?
You get two picks because I went with the Usos.
So I'm going to get my two picks now. I was not going to pick Randy Orton, so I'm going to use my two picks. I've got three tag teams right now. I like to have things in even number, and I'm going to take the Dudley Boys.
Yeah, I figured you would.
Again, a veteran team that I can plug in. I can use them down at singles down the road, but gives me a little bit of versatility there.
I'm gonna take Zack Ryder. Doggone it, people like him.
That is very true.
People like Zack Ryder.
So we're down to our last pick.
I think, like, if they pushed Zack Ryder in the Miz role.
Yeah.
Because Zack Ryder and the Miz, they're both guys that loved wrestling, but Miz has got a face you want to punch.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Zack Ryder doesn't. Zack Ryder's like that guy that you want to embrace because he's you.
Yeah, that's right.
He's you. He's the guy that got to live his dream. So is the Miz, but the Miz just is awful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I just think if Zack Ryder had been plugged into that role, he'd do a whole lot better than the Miz had, which the Miz is clearly winning at life, but,
So, we are here.
This is our last pick.
Yeah. I got one more, and I'm going to take him just because he's young. He's got a lot of athletic ability, a lot of potential. I feel like putting him against some of my top stars, I feel like he could really become a well-rounded superstar. I could build him. And that's Apollo Crews.
See, I don't like him.
I know you don't.
So my last pick, I got three guys that I got to choose from. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Because you're right, I don't have a monster. Other than my Wyatts.
Yeah.
I feel like I need another monster bad guy.
Yeah.
Because I got Finn Balor as my number one babyface. Kevin Owens is my number one heel. Nakamura is my guy. Really, that's my three top guys that everything's going to revolve around. And then I got Cena helping Jordan. I got the Wyatts to feud with them. I got Dash and Dawson, and I got the Usos to confuse with them. I can use Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler, and I can put Samoa Joe. Really, those three guys can feud with Nakamura, Balor, and Owens.
Right.
And Bobby Roode the same way. Bobby Roode and Randy Orton can feud with each other. But I don't have a monster, so I got to choose between three guys.
Right.
One's Big Show.
Yeah.
The other's Kane, and the other's Sheamus.
Yeah.
Now, Big Show's older.
Yeah.
But you put him in the ring with anybody, and they pick him up, and it's a test of strength.
Yes, yes.
Kane, same way, really. Kane's a strong guy. He's loyal. I can put him in there with anybody. He can feud with the Wyatts. He can get Finn Balor over with the demon thing.
Yes.
So he can do all that. But Sheamus can have good matches with these guys.
Yes.
Because whether you like Sheamus, Sheamus has gotten a bum rap to me.
I agree.
And I think he can have real good matches. When I look across this card, you can have a good match with anybody. So I'm picking Sheamus in my number 20 spot.
So I'm gonna pick somebody who I think can be versatile. He can do singles or tag team, has a ton of experience. I think personally he's underrated as a worker. I think he has shown on when he was away from WWE, he really showed a lot of the things he was capable of on Lucha Underground, and that's Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, he was another that was on my list because I know what he can do.
Yes.
But.
And as I'm looking at it, I really did draft a lot of tweeners. Mm-hmm. But when I'm looking at this and I see Rollins and AJ Styles, Roman Reigns, you talked about a monster. That's how I'm Roman Reigns is going to be the Terminator.
Which he should be not.
He is just going to be the doesn't care. Doesn't like anybody. He will just wear you out, and he doesn't need
That's
a title.
That's what he needs to be now. He needs
100% agree.
I've said it 1,000 times. If they book Roman Reigns the way they book Brock Lesnar, people would love him.
Yes, I agree.
And he doesn't have to go out there, and he can still not be a good guy, not be a bad guy, and be the guy. If he would just beat the hell out of everybody that gets in the ring with him, that's how he needs to be booked, is like Brock Lesnar.
If they had booked...
Everybody wants to pull for a badass. You think
if
Steve Austin had just come out and kind of hem-hawed around about what he was and got beat up every other weekend, nobody would have... They pulled for Steve Austin because he did exactly what it said on his shirt. He arrived, he raised hell, and he left.
Yeah.
He'd come out, he'd hit you with a stunner... Drink some beer, pour it on you, stand you up, hit you with another stunner, and he left.
Yeah.
And that was his act, and that's why, because he was a badass, and people believed he was what he said he was.
So let's chase this rabbit. One of the knocks on John Cena is, well, Cena's got the five moves of doom and da-da-da-da-da. Let me tell you, you go back and
so
look at
Ric Flair.
You look at Austin.
Flair didn't even have five moves.
Austin had the stunner. Kick in the corner and
the Fez press.
Fez press and the right hand.
Yeah, there's this idea that you got to do 1,000 moves to be over. It's just smart.
Dean Malenko was the man of 1,000 holds, never got over.
I think I've said that before. If it was about knowing how to do all the moves, Dean Malenko would be the most popular wrestler of all time.
It's about finding.
It's about making a connection with people.
Right, okay. So let's go back to what we were talking about at the beginning. You and I right now don't understand the New Day, but they have made a connection with people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something happening in wrestling that it's just, the connection is just different. I don't really understand
people
it.
Love, that's why Enzo is going to be over.
Right.
Whether he can work or not.
That's right.
And that's why the New Age Outlaws were over, whether they could work or not, because people love when you come out to go, and you can't teach that. And they get to shake their fingers, and they get to say it along with you.
They get to participate.
They get to participate, and that's what they want. And that's what it is with the New Day.
Yeah.
The W. Yeah. And people are in the crowd doing it with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the bootio thing. And they get to they get to be a part of what you're doing, and they right. live vicariously. People lived vicariously through Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Steve Austin did the thing
yeah.
to his boss that you wished you could do to yours.
Right.
That's right. why people lived vicariously through The Rock because they wished they could talk to people that way.
Right.
You know, and right. that's what gets people over. People will love Enzo Amore because they want to talk with him. They want yeah. to do that. And that's what it's all about. You want to run yours down?
I just did run mine down. What are you talking about?
Did you go through everybody who you drafted?
You did. Did we? Either one of us? Do you want to do that?
I think we should probably wrap it up. I mean, yeah. I got Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Nakamura, John Cena, Jason Jordan, the Wyatts, Dash and Dawson, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode, the Usos, Randy Orton, Zack Ryder, and Sheamus.
And I am taking a picture of this because when we did our Jim Crockett show, I did not get a picture of the dry erase board before Mark. And guys, I don't, you know, we showed up in my mom's basement and there's dry erase boards. I can't
Who knows where these things come from?
I've got Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Roman Reigns, Cesaro, Rusev, Sami Zayn, The New Day, Enzo and Cass, Bullet Club, Carl and Doc, Hideo Itami, Chris Jericho, Neville, the Dudley Boys, Apollo Crews, and Alberto Del Rio. So let me ask you this. You and I both drafted some tag teams. Who, as you look at, you talked about Cena and Jordan possibly getting together as a tag team.
No, they're not going to get together as a tag team.
But they're going to work together.
They're going to work together against the Wyatts.
My question is, down the line, who's a thrown together tag team you would like to take from your roster and put them together?
Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens.
Oh yeah,
it's like a super team.
See, I have always wanted to do a. They did it with. I can't even think of the name. What was the name of the deal with Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio?
League of Nations.
I want to do that the right way with Alberto Del Rio, Rusev, Cesaro, Neville, Hideo, Itami. Do something like that. I would love to see eventually, man, AJ Styles and Seth Rollins be like that two man power trip.
Yeah. How about Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler as a tag team? That's you could kind of see that.
Yeah.
They got similar builds and, you know. I can see that as a good tag team.
What if Roman Reigns teamed up with Carl and Doc, and they just run
roughshod over everybody?
On everybody.
Yeah.
And then you got to rise up, and maybe AJ Styles and Rollins, hey, we got to put aside our differences, and we got to go fight these guys or something. There's just a lot of – wrestling is
– I can see doing a deal where Randy Orton and Dean Ambrose
– Yeah.
Got on the same page,
yeah.
Just to combat somebody, but the combustible nature of both of them's attitude
right.
leads to a blow up, and then you get a feud with Orton and Ambrose. I would probably do that. man, I just there again. My top three guys are going to be Owens, Balor, and Nakamura.
Yeah,
but I'm going to have Samoa Joe, Randy Orton,
yeah.
Sheamus, John Cena, Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Even Ambrose and Ziggler in a secondary role that can feud with those guys for the belts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So deep right now. I mean, we're talking – I mean, they need to do a brand split
yeah.
where it's separate rosters. We have done 40. There's probably – if you look at NXT and the rest of the WWE roster, you're looking at
yeah, I mean, you
80
got,
people.
Yeah, you got a bunch of guys that we didn't – Well, not a bunch of guys, but you got Mark Henry and the
yeah.
Miz and Primo and Epico and Ryback, I'm guessing, is gone. But
Miz, R-Truth, yeah. The Vault Villain, Sin Cara, Kalista, who's over.
Gold Dust. I started to get Gold Dust, but I'm not going by prime guys. I'm going with their age, where we can go right now.
Right, right. I think you and I could book both of these and get
And then the great thing about it is, a year from now, you can come back together and start trading guys. Hey,
yeah.
You know, people are tired of seeing Owens and Balor, man. I'll trade you AJ Styles for Finn Balor.
Yeah.
And that way you freshen up your whole
yeah.
deal. You trade three guys. I give you Neville, and you give me Dolph Ziggler. And then you start freshening up all your matchups.
Maybe I've got my Bullet Club faction. They've been running roughshod. A year from now, the Wyatt family shows up on SmackDown to say, y'all ain't the baddest boys on the block.
Right. Because you can, from this, you talk about interpromotional stuff.
Yeah.
You can go, and this is what I would do.
Yeah.
They never do this.
Yeah.
They always have shows where it's matchups from both.
Yeah.
I would not do that. I would say you're going to have 6 Raw pay-per-views.
Right.
You're going to have 6 SmackDown pay-per-views. And I would not have anybody show up anywhere.
Yeah.
For 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And then WrestleMania rolls around.
Right.
And it's not a for supremacy. It's not this. It's just we going to have a supercard.
Yeah.
Tell us who you want to see fake, because now you've built up you guys over here.
Yeah.
You built it, and these guys have never faced each other.
Yeah.
So who, as fans, would you like to see? Oh, man, I want to see Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins.
See,
I never got to see that.
See, you're totally right. They don't keep guys separated enough.
They don't. They separate them, but they ain't really separated. They'll
like,
still show up.
AJ Styles' first night in the Royal Rumble, who's he facing off against? Roman Reigns. He the
right.
first person he made contact with in the ring was Roman Reigns. And so it's like this moment you could have built to, you gave it away.
What if you do, at the Royal Rumble, instead of doing one Royal Rumble match, you do 2?
Yeah.
SmackDown guys and Raw, and you go for the respective title at WrestleMania for winning one of those, and just have it be a 2-match card.
Yeah.
And maybe with a tag title match or something like that in between, and have Lesnar show up, fight, you know, do
and fight somebody, yeah.
Do matches like that, but have 2 separate Royal Rumble cards or 2 separate Royal Rumble matchups.
Oh, man. There are so many things you could do, and who knows what's going to – I mean, it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan. A lot of – because there's a lot of unknowns. We live – it's become so standard to just kind of know, where it's so predictable.
Yeah.
And for the first time this week, WWE threw me a curveball.
Right.
And as a longtime wrestling fan, I am genuinely excited for what's going to happen.
Me too.
This summer. And that, you know, the night they do the draft, Lesnar's coming back that night. Just so many different things.
I'll be watching that night then.
So if you are listening to this, we are the podcast. We talk about the wrestling you grew up with. This is one of our standard episodes where we kind of catch up on current events and current news and current wrestling. We don't review review Raw every week, but we remind you that we don't review.
That's right.
Raw every week. We would love to hear your feedback. We're going to post these rosters. The picture is going to be on our website. But we would love to hear
your
thoughts.
And as always, I like to hear who you think made a better.
Right. I would love to. I'm going to be honest. Looking back, Mark, I think Dean Ambrose slipped through the cracks a little bit. I think Samoa Joe. I mean, as I'm looking at who I picked and who I missed out on.
I was really surprised you picked Roman Reigns. I thought he's going to pick Samoa Joe. He's going to pick all these guys, and you just forgot about
because him. I think Roman Reigns, athletically, career, I think that guy's just got a ton of
he
potential.
Does. I like Roman Reigns. I'm not a hater of
right.
him. I just don't understand the philosophies with him, why they treat him the way they do. I don't understand that. If he's the big star, make him the big star and have him kill everybody.
And I would not have him say a word.
No.
I'll have him kill everybody without cutting a single promo.
Yeah.
Or maybe bring in somebody.
I still think putting him in the Usos and calling them the Bloodline was great. I said that 2 years ago they need to put them together, but
yeah.
I would put Paul Heyman in charge
of
them.
Oh, you see, I was about to say that
and have him talk for them, and there's
yep.
a connection there with his family from years ago when he had the Samoan SWAT team.
Yep.
And I would dress up Jimmy and Jay in the SWAT team uniform,
yeah.
just like Ray, and call them the Samoan SWAT team part 2 or something like that. I don't
yeah.
know.
We would love to hear your thoughts. We have a Facebook group called The Wrestling You Grew Up With, where we talk about wrestling. We talk about, you know, the old stuff, the new stuff. We would love to hear from you. We would also love to hear from you on Twitter. Mark is
@TheDDK Show.
I'm @Heath Mulliken. We had a comment the other day on the website, and I apologize that I'm not can't remember this the guy's name. I'll pull it up for the next show, but just said, "Hey, enjoy the show, doing a great job," and asked us to talk some to do an episode on World Class. He asked, you know, talk about Memphis, stuff like that.
I hadn't seen that. So, I never see any of the comments that come.
Well, it hasn't.
Do
been
we ever get negative ones?
No,
you always have to.
We got some spam comments,
right,
saying, "Hey, I can help you get your website ranked."
Of course. And we met some guys at the Golden Corner show.
Yeah.
We actually did this whole. We were doing a show. We were trying to record, and we were talking about our great experience at Black's for lunch and how great the food is. We're going back today.
That's exactly right.
And then, like, just it's hard. Like, if you've never been to a wrestling show before the show starts, it's really hard because there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And we kept, hang on just a second. We got to do this. But then at the show, we met a couple of guys that, what's his name?
Kale Holbrooks.
Okay. But that was cool. They come over, and it's always fun to me, like, because we do so much talking on here about, well, Heath wants to talk to you. I don't really want to talk to you. And when people come up, like, without a doubt, every time it happens, like, I can be looking at them, and you got your back to them, and they will wait until you turn around and talk to you. And then they find out that I'm not the jerk that I am. But that I'm friendly. If you listen to our show, and I appreciate it, I'm not going to be a jerk to you. That's just me goofing. No. You know what I mean?
And,
but I always get that. Sometimes I sense people think I'm going to be a dickhead.
Woo!
Yeah.
I always appreciate people.
Oh, I love it, man. Up. If somebody cares enough to come over to me and say, "I listen to your show and I appreciate everything." Like, that means the world to me. It is odd to me. I will never get used to people that I don't know coming over and saying that they know who I am.
Right.
And not that we're any type of celebrity or anything, because that's not the case.
No.
But, you know, you go to wrestling shows and people do know who you are, and it's kind of flattering. And
it is.
But it's strange to me. You know,
and it's also,
so if I don't interact with you perfectly, just understand it's because I'm not a real social person.
Nah.
I'm not.
Mark is the Brock Lesnar of the show. He would be happy with him in a cabin.
But I'm not unfriendly like Brock Lesnar is.
No, no.
But I'm not a people person.
No.
And I'm probably not going carry on a big long conversation with you if you stop talking.
Right.
Then the conversation
Whereas Heath can
talk about anything with anybody.
Right, right. And it was cool the other night. Also, you know, we're doing more and more commentary, and to have people say, "Hey, is there any way to get your commentary piped through the building? Because we've heard it's really good."
Yeah, that's always cool.
So, what
we should do is figure out a way to, like, sell headsets, you know, like they
NASCAR.
Do at NASCAR. We should figure out a way to do that. Like, if you bring a Bluetooth headset, we could plug it through so they can put their blue. I don't know that in Oconee County anybody's got a Bluetooth headset other than you. But
listen,
we should do that. We should think about that, man.
Anything we can do to make some money.
Yeah, we're all about.
We need to do.
Because as far as I know, we ain't never made a dime. We made a few, but I always let you keep them because you spend more than I do on this.
Well, there's some money sitting in an account. We haven't reached our payout level yet, and it's all from stuff you bought from High Spots.
Oh, cool.
So that money's going to come back to you. So listen, like I said, Facebook, Twitter, all those places, we would love to have a conversation with you. We're excited for the summer. We got the big 3-Count Wrestling Show coming up August 20th in Liberty. You do not want to miss that. A lot of great announcements coming out about that show here in the coming weeks. So as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.